Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that where two or three gathers in the name of Jesus, you are in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord, that your revelation knowledge flows tonight. We thank you that revelation flows from my spirit to my understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us. I thank you, Lord, that you inscribe your words upon our minds and upon our hearts indelibly so that we won't forget it. But Lord, not only that we won't forget it, but that it will become life, that when we walk away from here, we will live what we have learnt. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Previously, we discussed faith and so on, and we will get back to faith because we learnt that without faith it is impossible to please God. But over the months, something has shown up in my heart, is that we talk about prayer. And we pray with people, and it is clear to me that most people actually don't understand what prayer is and how it works. Prayer is basically, or the analogy that I can draw with prayer and sport, for instance. People watch the Blue Bulls. But now, if the Blue Bulls came onto the rugby grounds, and they started playing against another team, and they were using baseball rules. First of all, I know that the Blue Bulls supporters would go absolutely crazy in the stands because they will be totally overrun. But you don't play rugby according to baseball rules. You don't play soccer or football according to badminton rules. You don't do that. Games are played according to certain rules. When it comes to prayer, there are certain rules, if I can call them rules. I'd rather use the principle of prayer. There are principles. There are godly principles. There are principles the same as in nature. For instance, if you climb on a roof that's three stories high and you jump off that roof, there's a certain principle that will govern your life. And we all know that that will be gravity. It's an unchangeable law. That law will work for you, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian. That law will work. When it comes to prayer, there are certain principles set out in the Word of God. And we will be studying quite a bit of the Word of God tonight. And we'll see how far we get. This is the introduction. I call it the secrets of prayer. So, we will start sharing on the secrets of prayer tonight. It's the introduction, as I said. And then we'll get into the different kinds of prayer and how we pray and why we pray in certain ways. I must stress at the outset that prayer works because of faith. Prayer works because of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. That's why you'll hear a lot of people that will pray stuff, and you'll actually never see answers to those prayers. And yes, a sincere prayer will be answered by God, but that's more because of His grace and His love for people than anything else. But when we come into the kingdom of God, there are kingdom principles that rule the kingdom of God. There's kingdom authority structures. There are certain ways that we do things. There are certain ways that God wants us to act towards Him and towards one another. And when it comes to prayer, it's the same thing. There's a certain way that we interact with God when we pray, when we request something. In a kingdom, there's certain ways that you approach the king and that you ask things from him and receive them. So we're going to talk about the secrets of prayer. And the subtitle here is Prayer, Humility, and Christlikeness. Those three are interlinked. You can't pray and expect to have a prayer answered unless you humble yourself before the Lord. And humility and Christ-likeness go hand in hand. Christ was humble. We read in the scripture that we need to put on humility. We need to put on Christ. So prayer, humility, and Christ-likeness go hand in hand. Prayer, humility, and Christ-likeness. Proud people will not pray because they will rely on their own strength. They will do their own thing. What is prayer? Prayer is conversation with God through the Word of God, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is simply communication with God or conversation with God through the Word of God, through the authority of the Word of God. What you speak to God has got to be based on the Word of God. And then it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And when we say in the name of Jesus, it doesn't necessarily mean that we now stick in the name of Jesus, amen, at the end of our prayer. That prayer needs to be in the name of Jesus. In other words, it must be prayed in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his attitude of humility, with his attitude of submission, but also with his attitude of authority and inner authority that he walks in. The most important aspect of our walk with God is to be like Jesus in our conduct. We've been hearing lately that we must manifest the kingdom of God and we must walk in the kingdom of God. And our lifestyle must show it. Whatever we do must show everything about the kingdom of God. But it starts with us being Christ-like. It starts with us having Christ formed in us. And I believe, and I've seen with myself and others that we relate to, and men and women in ministry, the apparent power in their prayer is directly linked to the Christ-likeness in their life. And the Christ-likeness being how much of Christ is manifested in them and is manifesting through them. So the most important aspect of our walk with God is to be like Jesus, our Christ-likeness, in our conduct and our lifestyle, and to trust Him and to strive to become more and more Christ-like as we progress in our relationship with Him. Christ-likeness comes from the heart, and it is a work done in us by the Holy Spirit as we step out in obedience and faith to do what He instructs us to do. So in other words, what I'm saying is we work with the Holy Spirit. We have to do certain things. Yes, we must make the time to spend time with Christ. We must make time to study the Word of God, and to not only study the Word of God, but to meditate on the Word of God, to renew our minds and to eat the Word of God and to put it in our hearts. So we're working with the Holy Spirit. We work with Him. We are co-laborers with Him. How are we co-laborers with Him? He gives us an instruction. We obey. And in the process of obeying, we're putting our flesh down. We're putting our own will down and submit our wills to Him, to the Word of God. And in that process, there's a dying that takes place. And in that process, Christ is formed in us. The more we yield to Him, the more He manifests Himself in us and through us. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 6 to 15. Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So what I'm doing tonight, I'm planting some new seed. But I'm also watering other seed that has already been planted before. But it's God that gives the increase. So we have to do something. We have to submit ourselves to the Word of God. I must teach the Word of God to you. You must listen to it. And you must endeavor to walk in it by faith. And then God will give the increase in your life. Verse 7 says, so then, neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters. But God that gives the increase. So it's not so much about me that plants or the one that waters. That's not so important. But it's God that gives the increase. You see, so this walk of faith is a walk of faith. We step out in faith. We're talking about prayer. Prayer is a faith thing. You're asking for something. You're interceding for something that you're not yet seeing with your eyes. So you're taking a word that you've heard that's been watered and planted in your heart, and you're stepping out in faith and you are trusting God to give the increase on that. Okay, you with me there? It's God that gives that increase. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, I'm sowing into your lives and I will receive for my labor. But also you, as you water that word in your own life, as you meditate that word, as you think about it, you will receive a reward for your labor. And God will give the increase. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. You see that? We are laborers together with God. So we've got to do the planting. We've got to do the watering. The planting and the watering is we've got to meditate the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. We've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to spend time with God. We've got to water that Word. How do we water the Word that's in our hearts? By meditating, by thinking about it. Amen? And so we're laboring with God. But He's the one that gives the increase. But if we don't do the labor, we're not going to get the increase. So if we don't do what we're doing right now, if I'm not teaching the Word of God to you, there's no seed going to come up. There's not going to be fruit in your lives. If I don't teach you the Word about prayer, then your prayer lives will not improve, will not be effective. You won't be able to pray effectively for someone else. If I start teaching on finances, you'll be able to deal with your finances in a godly way and there will be an increase in your finances. If I teach on healing, how to trust God for your own healing, how to pray for somebody else's healing. If I don't teach you that, if I don't sow the seed and we water the seed, it will never have an increase. God will not cause the increase to come because there is nothing to give an increase to. Amen? So when it comes to Christ-likeness, when it comes to prayer, we need to co-labor with God. He says further in verse 9, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. Some of you that are sitting here, I've laid a foundation in your life before. Now I'm building on it. But there are also other foundations in your lives that other people have built in your lives, and I'm building on that now. And we trust God that that was a good foundation. Because what we will see later on is that that foundation and what we build is tested by the fire of God. Whether it will actually sustain and it will remain. And only that which remains is actually what is substance. And only that which remains is what can give life in your own life and to someone else. He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So I'm building. I'm careful. I do the study. I wait upon God. I think about it. And I'm building on what I believe is in your lives already. If I'm not building, I am laying a foundation. But you yourselves need to take this and think about it and continue to build. Let every man take heed how he builds. Because you can build your house skew. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So I'm endeavoring to lay a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. A solid word. The word of God. The word and God is one. They are one. Amen. We know that. So I'm taking the word of God and I'm imparting, I'm teaching, I'm building into your lives Christ. So that when we talk about prayer, it's Christ that manifests. That it's not some doctrinal thing that comes from your mind. Yes, we need to renew our minds to the word of God. But the word's got to come out of our hearts when we pray. Or do anything else for Christ, for that matter. It's got to come out from within us, from our spirit man. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? Tradition has taught us it's the day of the Lord. Yes, things will be exposed and things will be tested by fire in that day of the Lord. But the day, today your faith was tested. Today my faith was tested in something. We go out, we work here, whatever it is we do. Your faith is tested. You can either not believe God, you can choose not to believe God, or you can choose to believe God in a certain situation. If fear and doubt comes up in your heart when you're faced with a certain situation, the fire of God has come and has tested you, and you have found, and you will have found that you have not built with gold, silver, and precious stones, but with wood, hay, and stubble. That's the day. It's not some day in the future. Yes, that day is coming. But today, you see, there's no point for the fire to come at the end of our lives, and then we find out that day that we've only built with wood, hay, and stubble. How many of you would like that? You wouldn't like that. So the fire of God comes and tests us day by day as we walk with Him. And so as the wood and the hay and the stubble is removed, we see how much of Christ is actually within us. When the pressure is on, when the fire comes, then we see how much of Christ manifests. When we need to pray about something, then we see how much of Christ is within us. We see how much of His Word is in us as we speak out. Amen? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, with fire you can easily see. Because gold, silver, and precious stones are untouched by fire. Verse 14, if any man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now we read in Revelation, the different rewards that are given us. Now you can link that as well. That's another teaching on its own. We're talking specifically about prayer, humility, and Christ-likeness now. So the test comes every day to see what we've built. And if we've built Christ, if Christ is manifested and formed within us, then we receive the reward. You receive your reward straight away. You receive the answer to your prayer. You receive the answer for healing or finances or whatever it is. You see, it's not just doctrine to us. That's what we are striving for. And particularly in the area of prayer, I can teach you doctrine and you go and go through steps and it does nothing for you. That's why we see in Christianity, they talk about it. Yes, we pray and all that, and people, we pray a lot, and etc., etc., but then it doesn't really seem to speak in their lives. There's no real manifestation of it. You don't see the kingdom of God manifesting. When we've done prayer schools, I've always asked at the end of the prayer, of end of school, I would say, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, please close in prayer for us. And 99 out of 100 times, please God, go with us and keep us safe and bring us back safely together again. That's the prayer they pray. And then I stop the guy straight away. And I say, okay, where did God go during this prayer school? No, brother, he's here. Then why did you ask God to go with you? Where is he gone that you have to ask him to go with you? And then they have to think about it. God lives within us. Whenever we go somewhere, we manifest God. He comes there with us. He has no choice. He's in us. And then the next thing, please God, protect us. But the word says, even in the Old Testament, it says, but He will give His angels charge over you and they will keep you in all your ways. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so on, and so on, and so on. We can just keep on quoting scripture. So in other words, what I'm then saying, there was no faith in that prayer. Faith could not come out of that prayer. That person heard somebody else pray that prayer at the end of a meeting and they're just repeating a thing. Oh, that really sounds spiritual. Okay? Instead of saying at the end of the meeting, saying, Heavenly Father, I worship and praise you and thank you for what you have taught us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that as we go from this place, that you are with us because you say you never leave or forsake us. Thank you that your word says that you protect us. Thank you that the word says that the blood keeps us safe. Thank you that your word says the angels are with us, etc., etc. Now, you think there's faith in that prayer? Yes, of course. There's a knowing in that prayer. It's not just faith. There's a knowing in that prayer. God is with me. Amen? Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire. We're talking about being a co-laborer with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're co-laborers with the Holy Spirit, not only for Christ to be formed in us, but in our prayer life. You see, you have the reason why I'm putting this foundation down is because many people have a list of things that they pray. Now, granted, we all start off like that. Pray for uncle and auntie and mommy and daddy and the dog and the pastor and the deacons and everything like that. But we've got to grow out of that. Does God answer those things? Yes, He does. But it's more His grace and His mercy than anything else. Because we're zealous and we're pulling on daddy, we little children still, and we're pulling on daddy's arm and say, please, Lord, do this for us. But there's got to come a place where we hear what is on His heart. What do you want me to pray for? Do you actually want me to pray for anything? Because see, we're supposed to walk in faith. We're supposed to walk in divine provision. Supposed to walk in divine health. We're supposed to walk in the divine knowledge of God. So if we're walking close to Him, we will hear what He says. If we're walking close to Him, we will know what to do with our finances. If we walk close to Him, He will warn us if something's going to go wrong. And He'll say, go and do this. A friend of ours who's a prophet, Van den Berg, Joe Van den Berg from Hatfield Church. There was a time that he didn't have a car, and he used to walk to work, and he used to walk past the Air Force headquarters in Church Street in Pretoria. And the Air Force headquarters is a 10, 15, 20 story building. I used to be in that building, and I used to walk right past the front entrance. And the Poynton's building is across the road. It's even a higher building, massive office blocks. And the one day, he was walking, and the Lord said, I want you to turn left here and go behind that block of buildings and come out the other side and carry on where you normally go. So he said, Lord, what's the purpose of that? The Lord said, do that. So Joe went, and as he was in the middle behind the other buildings, that big bomb that exploded and killed so many people exploded right at the entrance, at the glass entrance of the Air Force headquarters. He heard God. He obeyed God. Did he understand it then? No. You see, we've got to get to that place where we understand what God is saying, where we have His heart. Another example. When our children were little, they used to go and stay with friends often. And then the parents of these friends would come to us afterwards and say, please tell us how you've trained these children, because Bobby has been doing the dishes, which was amazing to us, and he's helped to make the beds, and he's done a whole lot of stuff. What have you done? How did you teach him to do that? And so we said, well, we train him here to do it, and he's not always very successful in doing that. But there's one thing. He knows our heart. He knows that when he's with his friends, that he represents us. And even though he was a young man, he was mature enough to understand that he had to represent who we are. He had the heart of the father and the mother. And so what has to happen with us in prayer and every other endeavor for Christ is that we have the heart of God. So that when we are out there, we manifest the heart of God. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, did Bobby pick up the phone and phone us and say, what must I do now? Must I now make up the bed? Must I now go and bath? Must I do the dishes for these people? Must I do this? Must I do that? No. He knew in his heart already what the heart of his father and mother were, what they would expect. So, what am I saying? When it comes to God, there comes a place in God and in our walk with God and our maturity with God where we don't have to run to Him every 5 minutes and ask permission for something. Because we have His heart, we know not to do certain things. Or because we have His heart, we know to do certain things. Because we can hear Him. Because we have His heart, we can speak to somebody on the phone. Somebody phones you, and they're not 30 seconds on the phone, and you have the heart of the Father for that person. And you say to them, just before you speak further, I detect a great sadness around you. What is going on? And the person says, no, this and this is happening. This and this is happening. Can I pray for you? You see, you're not even asking God if you can pray. You're asking the person, can I pray for you? And because you're flowing with the Spirit, the chances are they will say yes. What we've experienced over the years, people hardly ever say no. I can't even remember the times that people did say no. I think there were a few. But it's because we have the Father, because we have the Father's heart. We are one with Him. And so, in our walk with God, the Christ-likeness is a process where we work with God. We obey what He tells us to do, and Christ is formed in us. We co-laborers with Him. In our prayer, we walk with Him, we obey Him, and our prayer becomes Spirit-led and Spirit-guided. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. It says the following. Paul says this. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example. As well-beloved children, imitate their Father. You see, when you start doing that, it means you're becoming practical. When you start copying your daddy's words, that's what children do. We're excited when our babies are small. And we say, mommy sits there and croons over the little baby. Mommy, mommy, mama, mama. And eventually the baby gets it, mama. Woo! And the whole world's excited. And daddy's standing, da, 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 da. And the baby just copies what we say. So what we're supposed to do, the word of God is what God has spoken to us, what is given to us. And we need to line up our thoughts, our minds, our words and our actions according to this. We must be imitators of Him. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy Him and follow His example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. Notice there, as well-beloved children. And walk in love. This is the second verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. One Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers or guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings of the gospel. Everybody sitting here, you are my spiritual children. And I became your father the same way as Paul did, through the glad tidings of the gospel. So then Paul says in verse 16, so I urge and implore you. Remember the other day we were talking about implore, that word, an urgent request. Be imitators of me. So, as your spiritual father, imitate me in the Christ-like things that I do. I must specify that, because we are not perfect fathers. Amen? And the Christ that is within me will start manifesting in you. Galatians 4 verse 19. And in the area of prayer, you listen to when I pray. You listen to me when I pray. And you hear what I'm saying. And then you copy that. If you're not sure what I'm praying, go find it in the Word or ask me why I pray something. Galatians 4:19 says this. Now we're getting back to prayer again. My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs, until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. You hear that? There's a travail. Prayer, especially intercessory prayer, has to do with travail or giving birth. I can read the scripture this way. My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs until Christ, or the seed, is completely and permanently formed in you. Remember we said just now in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What did I plant? Seed. The Word of God. It's not seeds. It's one seed. Christ is the seed. So, my little children for whom I am again suffering birth pangs until Christ, the seed, is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. So that's what I'm trusting God for, to see a fullness of Christ within you. And then you can replicate yourself again in someone else. If you go to chapter 1 verse 16 of Galatians, let's read from verse 15. Galatians 1:15. But when he who had chosen and set me apart even before I was born and had called me by his grace, his undeserved favor and blessing, saw fit and was pleased to reveal, unveil and disclose his son within me. We're not talking to me. We're talking about revealing his son within me. He has revealed Christ in me. He's revealed the seed in me. And so I can share that which has been revealed in me. And he gives the reason that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles as the glad tidings. The Son of God was revealed in me for you. But the Son of God is being revealed in you for others. And it's through the travail. You see, you're going to get to a place where you're travailing again for others, and you have already done that to a certain measure. Amen. It's that travail to have Christ revealed in us. That's what we talk about, Christ-likeness. We cannot make ourselves Christ-like by trying to be like Jesus in a fleshly way. It has to be done by the Spirit. That's why we need to listen to the Word of God. That's why we recording this, for instance, so you can listen to it over and over, so that it's just not a renewal of the mind, but also the Word goes into your spirit. Your spirit is like soil. That's why we're made of earth. We bear fruit, people, because we are earth vessels, and the Word of God is put in your spirit and you bear fruit. We cannot make ourselves Christ-like by trying to be like Jesus in a fleshly way. We need to study the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. And we need to wait on God for that rhema to come up in our spirit and for Him to lead us in a certain way. For Him to speak to us and then we do a certain thing a certain way. You see, and it's the same with prayer. Lord, must I pray? If you're not sure. If there's not an unction within you to pray for a certain situation, then you don't pray. How do you know that someone else has not been raised up to pray for a certain situation? God will speak. You will know within yourself. Let's have a look at Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul says, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. It means if he says that, it means we can habitually do that. We can do that all the time. What we do mostly is we walk in the Spirit and we step out of the Spirit into the natural, and then, oops, we're back in the Spirit. We need to habitually walk in the Spirit. And then he explains in the Amplified Bible, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. That's what it means to walk and live in the Spirit. To be responsive to the Spirit. In other words, I said just now, somebody phones, you pick up the phone, and you're 30 seconds into the conversation, and all of a sudden you have an unction in your spirit to ask the person, is everything okay? I have a sense that you're very sad or something like that. That means responsive to and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit. So he gives you the words even to ask. But you need to have your mind renewed with the Word of God. So the parameters that you walk according to and that you live according to is the Word of God. He then says, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. So we walk in the Spirit, so we don't do carnal things that hurt people, that are sinful and so on. But we also walk in the Spirit so that we are not sinful in a situation. Again, the telephone call comes to you. You have the unction in your spirit, but then you don't ask. You don't ask the person, is there something wrong? Can I pray for you? That's as good as you walking in the flesh then, because you're thinking, ach, no, I won't do that. So in other words, you are not responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. That's as much part of Christ-likeness as it is part of how we are led in our prayer. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, or godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding, and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. And we'll discuss that a little bit later. Suffice it to say at this point, when you walk in the Spirit, you don't have to live according to rules in that sense. Now, if I pick up the phone, then I must always ask the person whether they're okay or not. You see? That's you're making a law for yourself. So you'll miss God more than what you'll actually be accurate with God. So in other words, because we are guided by the laws of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, when a person phones, we'll be listening to the Spirit, and then His laws will guide us, and we'll, at the right time, ask somebody. But out of 100 phone calls that you might get in a month, you might ask 2 people. You see? So we don't make ourselves a law and say, every time somebody phones us, say, listen, are you okay? Some people might not talk very nicely to you if you do that every time they phone, especially if they phone you 20 times in the month. What's wrong with you? Why do you keep asking me if I'm okay? I told you I'm okay. Okay? But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. The moment we try in our own strength to be like Him, we enter into the realm of law, because we start to impose rules and regulations on ourselves. You see, that's why it's important. We must renew our minds to the Word of God. That's why in our household, we listen to CDs all the time. We've got in our bedroom, we've got a CD playing 24 hours a day. So when we sleep, we hear it. I took off work once, and for 2 weeks I listened to 2 messages. I listened to them. I made a commitment. I listened to them 7 times a day for 2 weeks. And it released great faith and great power in my life, like you have never, you can't believe. Until you've done that, you will not understand how powerful that is, because faith comes by hearing. And the anointing that is on that word just breaks strongholds in your mind, but your mind is renewed. Your mind just thinks according to what you've heard. You don't even have to think about it. It just comes. It comes out of your heart. And that's what I'm talking about. That you build Christ into you. Allow Him to build into you. and that he manifests himself. In other words, then you don't set up laws and rules for yourself. Your mind automatically hears, because your mind is renewed, the spirit of your mind is renewed to the Word of God. When your spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks through your spirit, your mind recognizes that word. Because the fullness of the word already lives within us. The day you got born again, the day you received Christ into your spirit, the day the Holy Spirit came to live in your spirit, the fullness of the word came. That's why many times you'll sit somewhere and you might not know what the scripture is for a particular situation, but on the inside, you'll feel something is wrong about that situation or that person or whatever it is, that circumstance. And it's because the word in you already knows that that situation is out of order. But your mind has not been sufficiently renewed to hear that word. And that's why it's important. So Christ is formed in two areas. He's formed within our spirit man, but he must be formed in our minds in the sense that our minds are renewed with the word of God. But not only just renewed, the spirit of our mind, the attitude of our mind. We must have a spirit attitude. We must have a word attitude, because you can't take everything in the Bible literal. And I know some people will take what I've just said and misconstrue it. But you can't take everything in the Bible literal, because it says there that Judas went and hanged himself. So I can read that and say, oh my goodness, Judas went and did that because he sinned against Christ. I've sinned against Christ many times, so I must go now and hang myself. It's not how it works. Understand that there's repentance. You don't have to go and hang yourself. There was forgiveness for Judas. He just didn't understand it. His rejection and a whole lot of stuff caused him to do that. He didn't realize the love of God for him. Because if he had, he would have just gone to him and said, please forgive me. The moment we try in our own strength to be like him, we enter into the realm of law, because we start to impose rules and regulations on ourselves. And the scripture is quite clear that we cannot keep the law. Okay? Because then you're a perfect man. And nobody's been able to keep the law. Trying to live according to a set of rules produces death in us. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in and through us, our lives produce life and will bear much fruit. Okay, now we're going to read some scripture. Romans chapter 5. Let's start at verse 17. I know these are, this is like steak on a plate that I'm giving you tonight, but we'll get into a breakdown of things as we go in the future. But this is a strong foundation, a good foundation. Romans 5 verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, or his lapse, or his offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who received God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness, so will they reign as kings in life through the one Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You understand that? We became unrighteous because of one man's sin, Adam. Because of Jesus' obedience, we became righteous. Because of Adam's sin, you became a pauper and poor and sick and etc., everything like that, on your way to hell. When Christ came, you became a king. You became a reigning king in life. You became a king to reign over life circumstances. You became blessed. You're not poor anymore. Healthy, healed, sound mind, all of those things because of one man's obedience. So what's the opposite of obedience? Disobedience, which is what? Sin. Which is, as we read just now, walking in the flesh.